These are the sounds and voices of this hour's front page story on Washington Post Radio, 1500 AM, 1077 FM, 820 AM, and worldwide on WashingtonPostRadio.com.
I was getting at one point three or four guys a day getting put out with personality disorders.
Three or four a day?
Oh, yeah.
When you see bits and pieces of actual people or people bleeding to death or anything, it's very unsettling. It's something that you'll never be able to forget, period.
He doesn't have a personality disorder. He was a good kid. He never got in trouble. It really ticks me off.
Welcome Home, an amazing tale of screwing over our combat veterans, a sordid tale that is our front page story at 1:30 this afternoon. I'm Jim Bohannon, and coming up as well, we're going to be taking a look at all of our extended traffic and weather at 1:45, and Jim Russ will tell us if reasonably nice can continue right into the weekend. Also, later on today, we have our check of the latest in sports. Gene Wong, the Washington Post NFL editor, joins us, and we'll see how the second half of the Nats season gets underway this evening in Miami. Game time, by the way, 6:35 p.m. for the pregame show, exclusively right here on Washington Post Radio. Plus, from the Post Washington Business Editor Bureau, Mike Shepard stands by to give us an update of what's happening in the world of commerce. All coming up on Washington Post Radio. And at 1:32 this afternoon, we have been, over the past few months, telling you about members of the military who have been denied their disability and medical benefits after returning from war. Last night, Nightline took an in-depth look at this issue, and Joshua Kors, a contributor to ABC News, joins us now with more. He worked extensively on the Nightline piece, and good afternoon to you, Joshua.
Good to be with you, Jim.
Thank you very much. We have talked to you about this issue in the past. Members of the military being denied their benefits after the military diagnoses them with personality disorders that they don't have. Why is this happening?
That's right. We discovered that the military is using the accusation that these soldiers wounded in Iraq had a pre-existing personality disorder, and discharging them that way, they could release the wounded soldiers out the side door without paying them disability or medical benefits. Another provision in that personality disorder discharge is forcing the soldiers to give back their signing bonus, so that nowadays thousands of wounded vets are finding out they actually owe the Army several thousand dollars.
It is a remarkable tale. Of course, in this program, ABC talked to two different service members who were discharged because of a personality disorder. Let's meet each. First, Army Specialist John Town.
They basically said that you had a mental problem before he got into the Army.
Correct.
Based on what?
Nothing.
Did they ever question your parents, your friends, anybody from your past?
Not at all.
Don't you think people would see that as shocking?
I hope they see it as shocking.
And also Donald Schmidt.
He said that you have PTSD, but if I diagnose you with personality disorder instead of PTSD, instead of taking 6 months to a year for you to be discharged, we can get you out now.
Your take, Joshua Kors, on these two soldiers.
John Town's case really puts the whole issue into perspective. They said Town's problem was a personality disorder, when actually it was deafness caused by a rocket explosion just 2 feet from his head, knocked him out, provided significant hearing loss, confusion, memory problems, a whole range of issues that one would normally associate with traumatic brain injury. Of course, Jim, it would defy explanation to figure out how personality disorder could cause deafness.
Really?
But that really shows the absurdity of these accusations, and furthermore, there's an absurdity in the way in which they've handled the cover-up of this scandal. Surgeon General Gail Pollack initiated a 5-month, what she called, thoughtful and thorough review of these personality disorder cases. In reality, she didn't interview a single soldier. All they did do was go back to the doctor's offices where these false diagnoses were made, and said, did you get it right the first time? The doctors said, yep, we did, and they shut down the review at that point. I even heard from families who called the Surgeon General and said, I know you didn't ask us whether these soldiers had pre-existing conditions, but we'd like to offer information about that. And they said, sorry, not interested.
In the interview, ABC News correspondent Bob Woodruff asked Colonel Elizabeth Ritchie, the Army's Chief of Behavioral Science, to describe how personality disorders are diagnosed.
Personality disorders that interfere with military service and are incompatible with a soldier staying in the unit, it's usually best for both the soldier and the unit for that soldier to be discharged.
But why was the military not able to see that before this person enters into the military?
We do histories and physicals on every recruit that comes in, but people may not always tell us everything.
So if you see that someone's got a problem when they're coming out of the war, you're really able to determine that this is something that existed before they went into the war?
It's going to depend on the situation. So you're going to look at what happened in high school, whether or not they made it through high school, whether they had any problems with the law.
The testing, physical and emotional, that takes place before one enters the military, which I underwent some years ago, is very, very thorough. They don't miss a whole lot, and it strikes me as difficult to grant the military that they can spot these pre-existing conditions after the fact, and yet, after all of that testing, they couldn't spot them going in, Joshua.
And there's no doubt about that. All of the soldiers I looked at in the 10 months I've been reporting on this story were soldiers who cleared that first review, deemed perfectly healthy to enter the military, then cleared a second review of health to be deployed to Iraq. It's only when they came back wounded and sought benefits that the Army diagnosed them with a pre-existing personality disorder. Jim, you could just imagine the insult to these wounded veterans, to not only be denied disability and medical benefits, but on top of that, to be told by someone like Ms. Ritchie that they were lying, that they really did have a pre-existing condition, but refused to cough up that information when they joined.
Now then, before people get too outraged about what we have told you about so far, what if the military decided that this would just be a really neat way to save several billion dollars by inducing soldiers to check a certain box, a certain form, and therefore talk themselves out of a lifetime of benefits that they earned the hard way under something called Regulation 635-200, Chapter 5-13. What is that, and what has been done with that?
The execution of that regulation, which is separation because of personality disorder, does have a financial component. Looking at the Harvard study on these costs, the Army is going to be saving $12.5 billion over these soldiers' lifetime in disability and medical care that they would have been provided had these soldiers been provided a proper medical discharge. But the execution of it is really where the insidious nature of this discharge comes into play. When they go to the doctor, every soldier told me they were directly lied to by their military psychologist, told that if you accept this personality disorder discharge, you'll get disability pay, you'll get medical care. It's only in their final day in uniform they find out none of those promises are true. In fact, a lot of these doctors went even further when the soldiers resisted, knowing, of course, they didn't have a personality disorder. They would twist their arm by saying, look, we know you don't have this personality disorder, but this is a fast way to get you out and to get someone healthy in your shoes. Your fellow soldiers are going back to Iraq. The unit's just about to be deployed. Do you really want to be responsible for their death as someone who's unhealthy yet trying to guard their back? Wouldn't it be better if you take this exit out the side door? We can get someone competent in their shoes and perhaps save your friend's life.
It is amazing the extent of what we're talking about here. Jeff Peshkov is a 10-year veteran who used to work as a civilian employee for the military. He blew the whistle on what was happening with the personality disorder discharges, and during this Nightline interview, he said that he was discharging up to four people a day. Now, this is one guy. Up to four people a day who were deemed to have a personality disorder.
They're actually washing their hands of them. They're pushing them to the VA system. They're telling them they're going to be going to the VA system, but really, in all actuality, they're not.
Peshkov, who served 10 years in the Army, including a tour of Iraq, recently quit his job in disgust and is now speaking publicly for the first time.
Are you worried right now about getting caught for talking to the news, media, about this?
I am, but I think it's the right thing to do. If you have a combat tour and you're getting labeled as personality disorder, there's something wrong.
I think it's just a lie.
It's a lie. It's a quick way to get rid of that body and bring in a new body. And it's a quick way to save money.
Now, Joshua Kors, I gather that a bipartisan group of senators is pretty much laying down the law to the Defense Secretary Gates.
They are. And, you know, Peshkov's coming forward really shows the courage that these soldiers have to stand up to this system that's trying to beat them down and cheat them out of these benefits. It sets the stage for the hearings coming up, spearheaded by Congressman Bob Filner of San Diego. That'll be coming up in just a few weeks, and it'll be a great opportunity for America for the very first time to hear from the Surgeon General and hear from the person who spearheaded the review of these cases in which not a single person was interviewed. That's Colonel Stephen Knorr of the Fort Carson's Evan Army Hospital. In addition to his job reviewing these cases, was actually a significant player in creating the original false diagnoses. Strange that the Surgeon General tapped him and only him to do the review. That's a decision she'll have to justify later this month before Congress.
Joshua Kors, we will, to say the least, be following your work on this story. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, 1:43, our time now on Washington Post Radio.